Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast. I am James Darko, joined as I am every Wednesday by my guy Evan Klosky from WTSB 10 Tampa Bay. You can check out everything I'm doing over at BucsNation.com. Make sure you're following along on Twitter at LockedOnBucs, at JRCO underscore Bucs, at E Klosky WTSP, and at Bucs underscore Nation. We'd like to thank you for making Locked On Bucs your first listen or first watch every day. And thank you to David for holding it down while I was gone. The Evan, the hockey tournament did not go the way we were all hoping, but back here talking Buccaneers and Rams. I didn't get to talk about any of this stuff. I didn't get to talk about the Eagles game. This is the first opportunity I've had to talk about the Rams game.
You're ready to unload.
Yeah. Last week, I asked you, which team scares you the most in the NFC? And you said the Rams. I said the Cowboys. The matchup is the Rams. And Evan, I got a spoiler alert for you. Buccaneers are going to win this game.
Okay.
How? Well, because the Rams are this. They have not been a consistent team. The defense, while fantastic, has bailed Matthew Stafford out of a horrendous final month of the season. In his final four games, he's got 9 touchdowns. 9 of his 17 interceptions came in the last 4 games. 2 fumbles, been sacked 10 times, and that was against Seattle, Minnesota, Baltimore, and the 49ers. If the Bucs get to Matthew Stafford early the way they got to Jalen Hurts, he's toast. He's done. And I think Todd Bowles is going to dial it up. And the Rams might be a little bit cocky knowing that they won that Week 3 matchup. But there's some players coming back that the Rams didn't see the first time around. I'll get to that a little bit later. But you said this team worries you. Obviously, Arizona didn't play worth anything in the Monday night game. How do you feel after the Bucs' performance and after the Rams' performance?
So, first and foremost, pure domination from the Bucs. I think, as we were all saying, the Eagles didn't really beat a winner during the season. It proved itself. And as I said last week, Jalen Hurts was not going to be an issue. I knew that they would shut down the run. All this talk about the running game faltering. They're completely healthy, even though that Shaq and JPP were on a pitch count, and they dominated. So just a great job by them. That game went as expected, to be honest, and really impressed with the defense. And the defense is doing some things that I thought they would do in the last 5 games. As they're getting healthier here, they're giving up an average of 14 points, and that does include the garbage touchdowns that the Eagles scored at the end of that game. So that was really a 31-zip game before the Bucs hit screw it. As for the Rams, I will say this. The Rams played a tremendous game. Even if the Cardinals showed up, I do not think the Cardinals would have won that game. I think it would have been close, but the fact is McVay got a little bit conservative there and really switched up the game plan. And, the defense really surprised me from the Rams and just how well they played, because that is sort of the sore spot. Everyone's kind of blowing up the fact that Stafford won his first playoff game and, tip of the cap for him. Deservedly so. He played well. He did not have to do much. It was really the defense that set a 21-0 lead for him on the table, and all he had to do was manage the game. In Tampa, he's not going to be able to do that. He's going to have to help this Rams team win, because that's going to be the contest. It's going to be when the Rams are on the field offensively versus the Bucs defensively. That is strength versus strength, because I am very concerned about what the Bucs are going to do offensively. I am not optimistic that they're going to be able to move the ball and score like we have seen them do in Raymond James Stadium. Their numbers in Ray J are outstanding offensively. I mean, they pretty much every time except for the outlier of a situation, that Saints game, they scored 30-plus points. Yeah. If you would have said, if Wirfs and Jensen, we had the whole offensive line fully healthy, I would be entering this being like, yo, Bucs are going to win this, and it's going to be pretty good. I am very worried about how the Bucs are going to handle the pressure from the Rams. They didn't do well with the pressure in week three. And now they got to do it with Josh Wells there, we think, at tackle, if he's healthy enough. I do not think Tristan Wirfs is going to be playing on Sunday. He's got a high ankle sprain. That's like a 2 to 3 week injury. I am optimistic that if they make the Super Bowl, he'll be back. I lean to think that Jensen's going to gut it out because he's a monster. But that's a big worry. When we're talking about the offensive line, that's a bad thing because that means that something's gone wrong. And what sets the Buccaneers apart from everybody else is the fact that Brady can operate there and pluck you apart. So, you know, I do think that we're going to see a similar game plan from the Bucs that we saw against the Eagles. Brady threw it 2.17 seconds against the Eagles. Bet the over on completions again. If Lenny's back, dump down city, working short, making sure that blitz pressure does not get felt. And there's going to be a few opportunities where the Bucs are going to dial it up. And you're going to have to hit those, you know? So, yeah, I mean, we can talk. I don't know if you want to go into the week three game just a little bit, but the Rams played an A-plus game.
Absolutely.
Week three. So if they play that way again, the Bucs are going to lose. But I have a hard time believing that what we saw week three is going to replicate itself now, because that was an incredible performance. One penalty, no turnovers, 400 plus yards of offense, complete and utter domination, not to mention there were some injuries from the Bucs. So I do not think we're going to get an A-plus Rams team, especially on short rest, coming off of that home win in front of that environment and then playing at noon their time, mm-hmm. which none of those guys have done since college.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably, I'd have to go back to look, but I'm sure there's the occasional, you know, East Coast road trip where they're playing at, what would that be, like 10 o'clock their time. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. Look, you're 100% right. If the Rams play the way they did in week three, it's going to be a long day for the Bucs, and a lot of this is going to hinge on Tristan Wirfs' availability. We might see a mid-game swap where Kappa does move over to that right tackle spot. You bring in Aaron Stinney and re-solidify that offensive line. You know, if Josh Wells is having trouble or if he can't go or things of that nature. But coming up in just a minute, we're going to get into a little bit more of this discussion and some Buccaneers that the Rams didn't see the first time around that could really change a lot of things up. If you want to change some things up in your life, maybe get a little bit fit, maybe eat a little bit healthier, make sure you're including Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar, because you actually want to eat it because it's healthy. It's you're eating a healthy candy bar. Who doesn't love that? They're covered in 100% real chocolate. Most of them, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, 17 grams of protein. A regular candy bar, you're looking at 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, dozens of carbs. Look, you don't want to do that. If you're not a huge fan of working out, you can at least eat something that tastes good and is good for you, isn't going to pack on those extra pounds that, you know, you're trying to shed off. We're out of the holiday season. It'll be season before you know it. Tons of flavors to choose from. Coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie, and Built is always coming out with new limited time flavors. Check out Built.com to see what's new. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 and you're going to get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED, number 5, for 15% off at Built.com. Evan, we got a voicemail that we're going to play from our guy Darren from Colorado Springs.
Hey there, David, James. This is Darren from Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I was just calling in pretty much to commend Tristan Wirfs for the incredible effort he put in, even after being injured, which he typically shouldn't do. But, you know, for a rookie, man, just such an incredible pickup. And got to commend Jason Light as well for, you know, picking up Tristan. But I also had something funny to share with you. First part of this is credit to Gridiron Heights. But the second part of the song, I kind of wrote myself. This should get everyone pumped up for the Rams game. There once was a team who was lost at sea, till there came a man named Tom Brady. Ditch Winston, they began to win. Throw less picks, Tom, throw. Soon will the Super Bowl come. Leonard Fournette will begin to run. Gronk strikes it down and Evans catches high, but off the cannons blow. Arg! Make all your enemies walk the plank into playoff loss infested waters. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Segment two here of the Locked On Bucks podcast. Thank you for making Locked On Bucks your first listen or first watch every day. Big announcement, the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show podcast is going on the road to Los Angeles for Super Week. Follow the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show today and get the most comprehensive coverage of the big game. It is also free and available on all platforms. Shout out Darren from Colorado Springs with the serenading of us on this WTSP Wednesday episode. Evan, that was fantastic. We need more.
I appreciate the effort, you know, the worfs and the lyrics marrying each other with putting in the 110%. People live this life given a hundo, 90, 80, that 110.
Absolutely. Speaking of giving all that effort, there was a tweet that generated some buzz, Evan, from a guy that's been giving quite a bit of effort trying to get back on the field. And we're talking about playoff Lenny. I'm really disappointed. Yep. I didn't get to use the Hurricane Lenny moniker that I thought I was going to get to on Sunday. But we could have playoff Lenny back this week against the Los Angeles Rams. Leonard Fournette, birthday boy, tweeted out, appreciate all the birthday love. Man, only if y'all knew the roads I had to take to get here. All the people I lost in my life that can't experience everything with me. Thank y'all. And I will see you guys Sunday.
Right out of the way. I'll see you guys Sunday. So there is a 5% chance that he is going to see a guy named Guy on Sunday and actually not be headed to the game.
Or maybe he's seeing Free Guy, the movie with Ryan Reynolds. My children have been asking to watch that. I haven't.
That's very possible.
But yeah. Lenny, is he back? And what would the importance to this offense be if Leonard Fournette is back there behind Tom Brady against the Rams?
I mean, assuming that he's Leonard Fournette that he was before the injury, obviously that'd be a huge help. I mean, I'm a little bit clouded right now because the combination of Giovanni Bernard and Keyshawn Vaughn, you know, what was Leonard Fournette that was going to do much better than that duo? 145 yards, two tutties. I mean, combined when you factor in the rushing and the receiving. So that was it. That was Leonard Fournette out there just in two different bodies. So obviously it provides you a better back, a more stable player. You know, we know what Leonard Fournette brings to the table. We don't necessarily know what Keyshawn Vaughn is going to do in the big moment against LA Rams in a playoffs game. Giovanni Bernard is definitely probably built more for a third down, 2-minute role. And he's kind of going outside of himself a little bit. But, you know, tip of the cap to Gio. That guy's been out for more than a month, and he looked really, really good. So, look, if Leonard can come back, man, this offense needs – somebody for the defense to worry about. They got to worry about Mike Evans. They got to worry about Gronk. And if you add Leonard in there, then at least you got to be a bit more worried about the run. And maybe you can kind of creep those linebackers in and at least provide some space for your other playmakers out there because they got to worry about, you know, for Tutty Lenny. Lenny. Lombardi Lenny.
You take a look at the way the Rams use their pass rush to get to Tom Brady, try to take him off his spot, generate all that pressure. You know, you mentioned in the first segment how quick Tom Brady got the ball out of his hands. The Bucs could orchestrate using all of that speed and that Rams pass rush against him with those dump offs to Lenny or to Geo or to Keyshawn. You can set up some screen passes to Scotty Miller or John Brown, who the Rams have absolutely no film on in this, you know, iteration of the Bruce Arians, Tom Brady, Buccaneers offense. You can throw some things at this Rams team that they have not seen all season long with the Buccaneers. Scotty Miller wasn't in that Rams game. Gronk got hurt in that Rams game. They have not seen Le'Veon Bell, you know, with this Buccaneers team, and he was a factor in the passing game. You could draw up some things for him that the Rams may not be ready for, and I think that's something that Byron Leftwich is probably going to do, probably throw that on his resume tape for all these head coaching interviews that he's having and say, look, this is a team that beat the snot out of us in week three, and this is what I did to counter everything that they did against us earlier this year. But let's flip sides of the ball real quick and hear a voicemail from our guy, Manny from Atmore.
What up, compadres? Manny from Atmore. Man, what a game. Monday morning, it feels fantastic just to have waken up from a game like that, how we played. No disrespect to nobody, man, but does it feel like we can just throw some cheerleaders to play with Tom and the offensive linemen and that in our defense the way they play today? We can pretty much take on anybody, man. Again, the deaths and the players and the missing people and all of this, my gosh, man, how do we do that, bro? How is it that we play off time just like last year? Boom, with just a whole nother level of football, bro. That defense, to me, all heart, humbleness, and I can simply just tell you, to me, the player or the man was top balls, man. The way he just dialed up that defense and the way we just locked them down, man. We shut them down for three quarters. I know it's just the Philadelphia Eagles, but, man, it just feels like our defense just definitely, definitely ready for the playoff, baby. Fire the cannons. Let's go, Bucks.
Manny, thank you very much for the call. Much appreciated. Evan, real quick, before we move on to your predictions here in the next segment, let's talk about this defense. And let's talk about this defense a little bit more specifically that faced a Rams team that, as you accurately put it, had an A-plus game when they met earlier in the year. That was a Bucks defense that lost Jamel Dean in the first quarter. They didn't have Sean Murphy Bunting. They didn't have Jason Pierre-Paul. And this Todd Bowles Buccaneers playoff defense in their five games, 12 takeaways, 12 sacks, 18.6 points per game allowed. They took it up a whole different level compared to what we saw down the stretch of the regular season. It's like they flipped a switch. So you know, what is your take on how this Bucs defense is going to be able to not slow down or not shut down, because you can't shut down the Rams, but how are they going to slow them down enough to give the offense an opportunity to win?
You got to create pressure on Stafford. First and foremost, Manny, my guy, thank you for calling in. I just want to mention, don't give them too much credit for what they did to Philadelphia. They did exactly what they were supposed to do, but the defense is getting healthier. And if Sean Murphy Bunting is healthy on Sunday, this is the first time all season that the starters are in place, all of them. Because you got to remember, Jordan Whitehead did not play week one. He was out. So we didn't even have week one as all the starters. So this will be the first time, potentially, that all your playmakers on that side of the ball are ready to roll. And yeah, I mean, you talked about it. Ross Cockrell and Dee Delaney were both playing 80% of snaps. There was also a philosophical difference from what the team was doing the first few weeks to how Bowles changed the looks and the personnel to fit what he had. And because of the adversity that unit has been through, they learned a lot about what their guys can do and now are well stacked and well versatile with what they can do now in the playoffs, because they got everybody and they got all their bodies. Lavonte David being back also is just, I cannot stress how important he is to this team. But you have to make Stafford force the ball.
Yep.
And so you have OBJ now replacing Robert Woods in that first matchup. So it's kind of just a break even. Mm-hmm. You have to have your rushers, JPP and Shaq, Hopefully their snap count's going to go up a little bit, and you gotta create pressure. I would expect that the Buccaneers will try to stuff the run and say, Stafford, you are going to be the guy that has to beat us. That, and I know that's probably opposite of what people are thinking out there. It's like, oh, I would think that you'd want to be beaten by the run. But no, if Stafford doesn't have the safety valve that his running backs were giving him against Arizona, where he's got, you know, the option to really alleviate the burden of him making every decision, that they can just chunk the ball down the field and you have to start worrying about the running more. Once you kind of eliminate that, you get to do what this Bucs team did against teams like the Colts, where they just abandon it completely, make them one-dimensional, and then capitalize on turnovers. Because I know that Colts game wasn't the prettiest, but what happened? Tons of turnovers. Why did those turnovers happen? The Colts were predictable. They forced Carson Wentz to throw the ball. And though Wentz beat them in the first half for a good chunk of time, eventually Wentz made those mistakes. The team made those mistakes. So that you have to be opportunistic. And the fact is, as you mentioned in the very first block that we had, Stafford is prone to making dumb mistakes. The difference between Stafford and Brady, I guarantee you, with Brady and what this team has offensively, he is going to enter the matchup saying, I will not turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. I will go three and out before I turn the ball over to this Rams team. I'm going to make them run down the field on our defense, which is why I am really expecting a grinded out type of game, and why I believe this game will be decided with the Rams offense on the versus the Bucs defense, because the Bucs defense is going to help the offense cut the field in half and really allow them to kind of get into that rhythm, because I do not believe the Bucs offense is going to be able to drive down the field 80 yards, 90 yards against this Rams defense. And if they do that, it's going to take a ton of time. It's going to be milk and clock and working, you know, death by paper cuts.
Yeah. And maybe that's exactly what they need to do to win this game. The early line for this one is the Bucs -3, getting that home field advantage, that long flight from Los Angeles to Tampa on a short week. And if you're confident the Bucs are going to cover that, of course, you need to head over to our friends at Bet Online. They would like to wish you a happy new betting year as they continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. Sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where starts. We are going to hit the voicemail line one more time before we head over to segment three and hear from our buddy Mad Dog.
Hey, gents. This is Mad Dog from St. Petersburg. Hey, it looks like our next opponent's going to be L.A. My keys are on offense. I'm not too worried with the injuries to Jensen and Wirfs. I mean, yeah, it's going to be difficult, but with Brady's release, 2.1 seconds, Fournette coming back and maybe going a heavy set, back to the middle of the field with Gronk. On defense, get after Stafford, make him uncomfortable, be disciplined in your gaps, and make tackles. I think this is doable. I know we have some injuries up front, but I think we can do it. Go Bucs and fire those cannons.
Wrapping things up here on a WTFP Wednesday edition of the Locked On Bucs podcast. James Yarko, Evan Klosky on Twitter at @JYarko_Bucs, at eKlosky, WTSP. And it is that time. It is prediction time, Evan. And let me just say, I'm very disappointed in my Bucs Nation brethren. Seven of us make these picks every single week. Four of the members of Bucs Nation have picked the Rams to win this game. And it hurts my soul. So now I'm worried about what you're going to do. Because you said that this was the matchup you feared. You picked the Rams in week three. What do we got? We'll save the score for last, as we always do. Let's start with the predicted player of the game. Who is going to really help out this Buccaneers squad against Los Angeles on Sunday?
So the Buccaneers player of the game, I got Shaq Barrett. I think we got a little taste of Shaq in a big stage with that interception last week. I think that he is going to shine big time, and they're going to need him. I think he's a dude that might get a couple sacks, also get some hurries involved in there. I think that Shaq Barrett is going to step up to the plate, and he is going to be a force, which will certainly help the rest of the defense take care of business as Stafford gets a little unsettled.
I like that. I like that. And you know, we would be remiss if we went this entire episode without talking about how much Joe Tryon Shoyinka has stepped up late this year. And that's another wrinkle that this Bucs defense can throw at the Rams offense. I don't remember the snap count, but Joe Tryon Shoyinka was not getting a whole lot of playing time on the defensive side of the ball early in the year.
I got to remember that Rams game was actually the first time he got like tons of playing time. I think he had 12 or 16 snaps to his name before week three, and then JPP got hurt, and then he got shoved in there for like a 79% snap share. And I was like, and he was exposed a little bit because, as we know, he can get after the quarterback. It's just sometimes that eagerness hurts you in the running game, and it leaves holes there. So,
well, and maybe I'm not remembering correctly. My plan is to rewatch that game today as people are listening to this. But it seemed like he shared a lot of time with Anthony Nelson on the edge in that one.
Nelson did get some time in that game too. I do believe it was heavy try on. I can double check that, but I do believe Tryon and Nelson did get some time. And when you watch that game back, you'll remember that the Bucs really kind of got in their own way. Jamel Dean dropped an easy interception right out of the gates. There was a 3rd-and-1 penalty on the first drive. Not to mention Gronk drops a ball that 9 out of 10 times he makes deep. Going towards the sideline there, which would have put them in the red zone. So, you know, before the wheels fell off in that game, the Bucs kind of got in their own way, and they could have been playing from ahead, and I think that game could have gone differently if they'd gotten that spot. But once they fell behind, they just never could catch up. The defense got roasted.
Yet another reason that I'm sticking with the Bucs to win this week, but I'll give my score prediction on Friday. What is your bold prediction for this one?
Okay, so I have two, and I'm going to hedge here, because I can't hedge in the score. 50 passing attempts for Brady.
Okay.
And
that's a lot.
And 3 forced turnovers by the Buccaneers. If I have to be bolder, I'll say 3 interceptions from Matthew Stafford.
I like
it. It's bold. All right.
That
no creamer, no nothing. Just drink it. Black.
3 takeaways by this Bucs defense sounds to me like a Buccaneers win. What's the score prediction, Evan?
24-23 Rams.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I'm really divided on this game. And I swear if Tristan Wirfs was not hurt, I would be for sure on the Buccaneers. It really worries me. I do not think they're going to be able to move the ball offensively. I think offensively they are going to be stagnant. Now, I do think defensively they are going to force turnovers. But where are those turnovers happening? Are they going to be happening deep in Rams territory, or are they going to be forcing, you know, are they still going to have to drive the lane to the field? And then they end up punting and playing this sort of back and forth game. I think this is going to be a tremendous contest. And I think that the defense has to win it. I do not believe we're going to see a great performance from Brady in the offense. I think we're going to see a very safe performance from Brady in the offense. I think they know they're going to have to get through this game with their defense and trust them. So I hate this matchup for the Bucs. The Rams aren't going to establish a run. It's not going to matter. They don't need to establish a run. The moment that they abandon the run and they stick with slinging the ball, they're going to find opportunities to hit deep shots. Van Jefferson might have a deep shot. OBJ has been thriving right now. He might get a couple of big gainers across the middle. Cooper Kupp, huge problem. Huge problem. You're going to have to double him somewhere, which is going to create issues elsewhere. He's literally unstoppable. You can limit him, but you cannot stop him. So it's going to be a war. And I think it's just going to come down to, you know, if the Bucks do pull out the win, it's going to come down to turnover differential and the defense. I'm telling you right now, do not go into this expecting the offense to win this game. And if they do, I'll eat my words. But I will be shocked if the Bucks run up to score offensively and have drive more than one drive of 75 yards for a tutty. I'll give them one. I don't think they're going to get more than that.
It's definitely going to be a battle, but it might end up being the game of the weekend. A lot of people are saying that'll be Chiefs Bills. I think the Bills can blow the Chiefs out. Not quite as bad as they blow out the Patriots, but I think that game could turn ugly in a hurry. I think the Bucks Rams is going to end up being the game of the weekend. So with that, Evan, we are out of here. Thank you to everyone for making today's episode of Locked On Bucks podcast your first listen or first watch every day. Now make your second listen the Locked On Bets podcast, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It is free and available on all platforms. David will be back tomorrow for Crossover Thursday before he and I finally get together this week to do our final preview of the Bucks and Rams this Friday. But Evan, where can people find the best pregame show in the business?
You can go watch The Blitz on 10 Tampa Bay. Remember, it's at 8:30 in the morning now. And we're gonna have a fun episode where we get you prepared for this battle. Obviously, I'm gonna be getting a lot of hate mail for going Rams. And you know what? Hopefully I'm wrong. And you guys can throw it in my face. All right. So I know what I'm getting myself into, and we'll see what happens. But again, the Blitz, 8:30, 10 Tampa Bay, 8:30 in the morning. And then also head to WTSP.com, 10TampaBay.com, where you can find all our content, as well as my Twitter handle, at Eklosky WTSP.
That's right. And of course, you can follow all of us on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at JRCO_Bucks, at DHarrison82, at Eklosky WTSP, and at Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Be nice to Evan. Don't go attacking him in the YouTube comments. Don't attack him.
You know what? I understand it. If you want to attack me, that's fine. Just know that, I hope you respect me. You disagree, you just respect me, right? Like, yeah. I've rode with the Bucks. I've only picked against them, I think, one other time, and that was the Rams' first matchup.
Yeah, it was. And so he's got to go with his gut. You got to respect him for that. And like I said, four of the seven over at Bucks Nation are taking the Rams in our preview episode. So be nice. That's all I'm saying. You know, I end every show saying be kind to one another. Make sure you show that respect. So hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to one another. Thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.